Great story I had to do was at a southern Tasmanian farm where a couple are having one of their busiest periods of the year on the goat and beef farm near Copping. Ian and Kate Field are being kept busy around the clock at this time of the year as the newborns arrive.
About 100 baby goats.
Kids. It's kidding season.
It is definitely kidding season.
Do you look forward to this?
So I get very excited because it's such a lovely time of year, but it's such a busy and exhausting time of year that part of me dreads it at the same time.
Have you got real kids yourself?
Yes.
So one or two is a lot of work, but you're talking 100.
Yes. Fortunately, I don't have to feed 100, though.
But the mums are here with them. How do they know their mums, or how do their mums know them, and is it easy for them?
So after they're born, the mums nibble them and lick off amniotic sac. Sometimes they chow down on the placenta, which I think is one of the grossest things ever. But, you know, that's okay. Herbivores eating placenta.
You've just put people off their lunch.
Oh, sorry, people. But they get to know their smells and their calls. So they do a lot of calling to and fro in those first few minutes of life. And so they are able to identify their different calls as well as being able to identify their smell.
Now, you can't name all of them, can you, possibly?
No, we don't name all of them, particularly not the boys.
And what happens to these little ones?
So some of the girls will go on to be replacement stock or additional stock to our milking herd. The boys will go to our meat arm of the business, and some of the girls that we don't want to keep will also go to the meat arm of the business. Occasionally people contact us because they want some goats for milking or for pets, and we make sure we vet our potential new home people well to make sure that they're going to be looked after properly.
Now, Ian, how do you feel about the kidding season? You're sort of quite laid back about it all?
I've been very, very lucky this year that Kate's managed almost all of it. It is an exciting time of year. It's a time of great joy on the farm where you've got a lot of kids being born, births, but it's also tempered with some deaths. And so I think it's what makes a lot of rural people very, very conscious of how precious life is, because you do see the joy and it's a great time, but it's tempered with a little bit of sadness.
But there's not too much here, the rate of attrition?
No, we go pretty well. We might lose less than 5%, but it's just the case. They're lovely little creatures. Just like we have a small beef herd as well, and the calves are wonderful, and so are the mums. You know, we get to know them, we get to go out. Every time we go in the paddock, we go and chat to them. We've got a very quiet goat herd and a very quiet beef herd as well.
So what's been the most this year? Single birth, twins, triplets?
Triplets. We've had 6 sets of triplets so far. We've had 59% of our girls kid. So I think that's, oh goodness, I can't actually work that out. I think we've had 46 girls kid and we've had 6 sets of triplets in that.
So is that unusual?
It is unusual for toggies to have triplets. It's not unusual for toggies on Leap Farm to have triplets.
Why is that?
I think Ian feeds them way too well.
Ian?
I think they get just the right amount.
And when you say toggies?
I mean Swiss Toggenbergs. So they're the breed of dairy goat that we have on the farm. So the toggies are the dark brown ones with the white stripy faces and the white ears and white legs and white bottoms. And then the other variety we have, we actually put a red boar buck over our toggies and they've come out with these beautiful little caramel coloured babies. I just heard a goat sneeze then, a kid sneeze.
I think she sneezed all over me, or he.
Probably a he. Yeah,
the joys of doing an interview in amongst 100 kids. Ian, did you think you'd be doing this sort of thing even 5 years ago?
5 years ago, yes. 10 years ago, maybe not. 10 years ago, I was an academic based in Sydney at one of the big unis there, and we wanted a change. We wanted to know where our food came from and to try and grow the best we could.
So this lot here this year, is that typical, or is it your biggest yet, or how does it rate?
We've been growing the herd slowly, organically. We have a closed herd, so we don't buy dairy goats in. We only breed our own. We keep a little bit of genetic diversity coming by changing our bucks. and that's allowed us to just grow. So this is our biggest year so far. We maybe have one more year of growth, but we're focused on quality. We're not really focused on quantity in any way. We turn all our milk into cheese, and that way that's where we get our reward and makes us sustainable.
You're doing a podcast, Kate, I believe.
Well, yes, I've started a podcast. I haven't actually published anything yet. I've been derailed somewhat, can we say, in the last week by 100 Little Mouths.
What's the podcast called?
It's going to be called The Curious Farmer.
Okay, so I'm thinking you're going to be asking questions about?
Yeah, so since we started this journey 7 years ago, we've become more interested about regenerative farming practices. That's another reason that we actually started the farm, was to be able to try and make the land better and contribute to maintaining or reversing climate change. And this process has led to more questions that I have, so I felt that a good way to get answers to some of those questions and to explore more regenerative farming practices was to go out there and talk to people who are doing things and compiling all that information in a format that is readily accessible to other farmers and, more importantly, to people who eat, people who wear clothes, and so that we can all become more aware of who we should be supporting, why we should be supporting regenerative farmers, and also learning more about how we can shop locally and support local practice to improve the land and prevent further climate change, and better still, reverse some climate change.
The little ones up there on the hill, what are they doing?
I think they're just playing. I think that's the best way to describe it, exploring their environment, playing, just like every good curious kid would do.
They're trashing the side of the hill, aren't they?
Yes. I've got to get them out of there.
How do you do that?
I'll turn the electric fence back on.
You're going to zap them?
Goats are really notorious for being difficult to fence in. So what we found, and from all the reading we've done, is you need a good solid barrier and then electricity to back it up, and then they won't challenge that fence again.
They're pretty smart.
Very curious. They'll go along a fence line and just look where they can penetrate it. If you've got a loose strand or a missing wire or the spacing's not quite right in the wires, it's gone. It's relatively straightforward to fence for sheep and cows, but goats, if water will go through it, then so will a goat.
Now, just one final question. The conditions, the water, the season, how's it been?
Dry. We've been fairly dry for 18 months. We've had a good amount of rain in spring. We've had over 100 mil. And Brim Creek has always traditionally been a dairy region. It's always been a little rain pocket on the Lower East Coast. But in the recent years, we have started to get longer dry spells. Some of the locals tell me that they've seen it before and it's going to break at some point. They've been saying that for a while. So hopefully we'll get some more rain soon. We're going okay. We've had a good spring rain. We'd love some more, but it's enough for now.
Lovely couple, Kate and Ian Field from Leaf Farm near Copping in the south of the state, counting the newborn kids at their goat and cattle farm. And it was just great to going along to see all the newborn kids. And we will have a kid video up on our ABC Rural Facebook page very shortly for you to go and have a look at.